good morning, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you. Certainly the first Sunday of the year, an exciting one, certainly one that we understand that people have change on the mind, and one that we could perhaps take advantage of as people have change on their mind. But we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be with one another. We're thankful for the opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. And as we reflect on 2020, to me personally, it felt like one of the fastest and slowest years at the same time. It seemed like to me it was just a strange year. But, you know, another year is coming gone, regardless of how you view 2020. Another year is coming gone, and certainly there's a time to reflect and time to think. And certainly we should be reflecting at all times, but when a year change happens, certainly there's a time for reflection. There's time for reflection on us as a congregation. You know, how are we doing as a congregation here at Sandyville? How are we doing as a collective group, as the church? How are we doing as an individual? There's certainly a lot to reflect on, a lot to reflect on from the past. And really, that's what I want to focus on this morning, is the past. And really, a Christian's relationship to the past. We're going to focus on four core ideas, really reflecting on a passage that just made me think this week. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 3, and there's a verse there that I've always thought about and always pondered about, and I don't know if I necessarily have the full correct answer, but I'm going to give you parts of what I think to be associated with the idea that we find there. In Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, it says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You know, right there in the middle of the passage, it has this phrase. It says, "Forgetting those things which are behind." And then all around that passage, it's got this idea of pressing on. But there right in the middle, it says, "Forgetting those things which are behind." You know, those things is kind of vague. That's why I always get a little bit stuck. What things am I supposed to be forgetting when it comes to my Christian life? And what I want to explore is I think there's certainly things that we should take with us on our Christian journey from our past. And as you see kind of the scenery behind me, you have that picture of a hike. As we go through our spiritual journey, as we go through our spiritual life, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs and all around when it comes to our spiritual life. But as we're on this hike, what are you going to take with you from your past? I think that the Bible teaches us that there are certain things that we should take from our past, but there are certain things from our past that we should not take along with us in our Christian journey. And that's what we want to focus on this morning. What are we to be forgetting? What are we supposed to be forgetting from our past? What are we supposed to be leaving behind as we go on our Christian journey? Certainly when we read this passage, I don't think Paul wants us to come to the conclusion that we never look back. In terms of never looking back, in terms of reflection, I think the Bible teaches us about reflection. And as we look forward into the new year, I think it would be good for us to at least look back for a moment and try to take some important things from this past year. When we think about our past, I think there are two things that we should take from our past that we need to carry with us, and certainly that we should not forget. Number one, when we think about our past, is I think that we have to understand that we have to learn from our past. As we go on our Christian journey, as we go through our Christian life, there are certain things that we cannot forget, and some of that is the life lessons that we have learned. I think the Bible teaches us to look to the past, to learn things, and take those with us on our Christian journey. Now, on your Christian journey, you do not want to get back down. And sometimes people will try to back themselves down. They put so much that they try to carry that they're just not going to run an effective race. But there are certain things that we need to carry. Just like if you're going on a hike, there's certain essentials that you would take, certain essentials that you must take with you. And something that we have to take from the past is the lessons of the past. Lessons that we've learned personally, but also lessons as we observe the past, lessons to take with us. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says, wherever things were written before were written for our learning. We look to the past for learning. And when we learn those are lessons that we should take with us. Number two, when we look to our past, there's something else that we should take with us. Not only the lessons that are learned, we should take those with us through our spiritual journey in life, but we should also take the good memories and the good times with us. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. When we go through our Christian life and we are reflecting, there are certain things we want to take with us on our Christian journey. One of the things that we want to take is the life lessons that we learn. We want to pack those up and we want to take those with us. But not only those, we want to also take the good memories and the things associated with the past. There's a lot of good and a lot of blessings that are in our past. And the only way to take those with us is by reflecting and taking them as we travel through our life. So when we look at Philippians chapter 3, it says, forgetting those things which are behind, he's talking about something specific. He's talking about certain things, but I do not think he's talking about life lessons. We need to take those with us. I don't think he's telling us to forget about the good things that have happened in our lives. I don't think that's what he's talking about. There are certain things of our past that we must take with us if we are going to be an effective Christian. If we are going to press on, there are certainly those things that we need to take with us. And some of those things are our life lessons and our experiences. But certainly there are things that we need to leave behind. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. See, in that passage in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, I think it gives us a little picture of those things that we need to forget and those things that we need to leave behind, and one of those things is sin. But trying to stay on this idea of things that we should take with us is we should take the good memories, we should take life lessons with us as we travel through the Christian life. If as we live and as we experience life, we gain these experiences, we go through trials, we have tears, we have tribulation, we have adversity, and with those things come lessons. With those things come training. In James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, my brethren, count all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It says, having joy in trials. Well, how can you have joy in trials? I'm not saying that you're going to have joy when you go through trials, when you have trials, when you have tribulation, when you have tears. But I think that there are lessons that we get when we go through adversity, when we try, when we go through trials, when we go through tribulation, when we go through the height of life. We learn these life experiences. We gain lessons that we can take with us that we are stronger because of. In fact, some of the most powerful lessons I've learned in my life came through great hardship and great adversity. It's some of those lessons that have stuck with me, that I can take on with me as I go through my spiritual life, came right on the other side of hardship, came right on the other side of adversity, came right on the other side of a tribulation or a trial. There can be joy found in those things as we take the lessons from those. And the Bible really points to this idea that we are going to go through hardships, and when we go through hardships, there is an opportunity to grow, an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to be better. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4, it says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Here in Romans chapter 5, the Bible connects two ideas. It connects tribulation with perseverance. How do you develop perseverance? How do you develop character? How do you learn some of those hard life lessons? You have to go through a hard time. You have to go through a tribulation. You have to go through some adversity to learn that lesson. sometimes we call it the school of life. School of life is hard. But when we learn some of those hard lessons as we go through life, we carry the lessons with us so we can be better equipped the next time those trials come around. Those difficult times in life that we go through, they're a test. And as we go through those tests, we gain perseverance, we gain character, we gain these attributes that we need as we go throughout the Christian life. You know, God is trying to set us up for success. He's trying to set us up for success for life and for our spiritual lives, and He's trying to set us up for success for this year. But we have to heed His word, and we have to take the past and learn from it. We have to take the past and our good memories and take those together collectively so we can face life as a stronger Christian. Take the good memories, take the lessons of life, and take them as you go through life. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to what is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." This is Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says that you need to focus on the book of the law. And when you focus on the book of the law and you observe it and you meditate on it day and night, what the Bible says is going to make Joshua prosperous and he is going to be led into success. We can be led into success in our spiritual lives by learning from the past, by taking the lessons from the past, taking our good memories from the past, and putting that in our backpack as we go through our spiritual life and take those with us. So I think the question then becomes, in Philippians chapter 3, I really don't think he's talking about forgetting the life lessons which he's learned. I don't think he's talking about forgetting the good memories of life. Then what is Paul talking about in Philippians chapter 3? It says, forgetting those things which are behind. What things is he talking about? Well, I can think of at least two that would probably fit in to what he's talking about. Number one, I think that Paul is trying to remind the church at Philippi that they need to forget about things that they cannot control. You know, I think forgetting about things that we can't control and worrying about things that we can't control, I think the Bible warns against these things in many places. But think about this hike. On this hike, there's certain things you want to take with you. You want to take on this hike good memories, because that's going to help your attitude as you're racing and as you're living your spiritual life. You need that good memories. You need those good things of life, which we have plenty of. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. But also, we want to take those life experiences. But there are certain things that we do not want to take on our spiritual journey. And one of those things that we do not want to take on our spiritual journey is those things that we cannot control. You really want to carry that in your backpack? On your hike? You want to take all the things that you can't control? You know how big that's going to be, how that's going to weigh you down, how that's going to hinder your spiritual growth, how that's going to hold you back. And many times, trying to worry about things that you can't control will crush you. Forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting those things that you cannot control. Question, can you change anything in 2020? No, you cannot. But you know that there's going to be some people trying to take 2020 in their spiritual journey into 2021. You're really going to try to take all the baggage, all the luggage, all the stuff that happened in 2020, and you want to carry it on your spiritual journey? I don't want to carry it. Forget those things that you cannot control. Can you change anything in 2020? Now, can you take life lessons from 2020? Yes, you can. And we should put those in our backpack, and we should take those on our spiritual journey. But those things that we cannot control, forget them and leave them behind. How much time do we waste thinking about things that we cannot control? I'm not saying that we're not cautious. I'm not saying that we don't take things into consideration. But I can tell you, if you had a little stopwatch, every time you thought about something that you couldn't control, think of all that baggage that you're adding to your spiritual journey. All those things that you're adding to your spiritual life. Things that you cannot control. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be picking. I'm not trying to make a political statement or anything. I just want you to think about it for a moment. There are some people that I know personally, maybe you have some people that you know as well, that did absolutely everything to avoid COVID. They stayed at home. They had their groceries delivered. They had their mask. They did everything. You might know somebody as well. They did everything they possibly could, as cautious as they could be. I'm not telling you not to be cautious. They did everything they possibly could, and you know what they got? They got COVID. There are certain things we can control, and there are certain things that we can't control. I'm not saying don't be cautious. I'm not saying do everything that we can in reason, but I'm saying at some point you're carrying around some baggage in your spiritual life that you should not be carrying. You're carrying some baggage in your spiritual life that you should not be carrying. Forget those things which are behind. Forget those things that you cannot control, because they're holding back your spiritual development, your spiritual journey, your spiritual growth. Think of all the time wasted on things that you can't control. I heard somebody suggest this activity one time. I thought it was a little bit funny. They said, take two sheets of paper, and they said on one sheet, write things down that you can control in your life. On the other sheet, write things that you can't control on the other sheet. And they said, once you've completed that process, take that sheet that you can't control and water it up and throw it away. That's all you can do. Things that you cannot control are things that you cannot control. Why would you waste your thought? Why would you waste your mental energy? Why would you waste your time? You know, if you took the same amount of time about worrying about things that you can't control and invested it into reading your Bible, my guess is you'd be more at peace. We have to be careful, brothers and sisters in Christ. Are we forgetting those things which are behind? Are we forgetting those things that we have no control over? We waste a whole lot of time and mental energy. In Matthew chapter 6, it's talking about worry. And certainly, there's many lessons that we can take away from Matthew chapter 6 and that passage about worry. But there's a little passage there that I just have always related to since I was young. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 27, it says, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? How much worry time can I invest into my height and it changed my height? Answer, none. But you can worry about it a long time. You know, when I was younger, my older brother is 6'5", my younger brother is 6'6". But there was a time where I was a pretty talented power forward. But there's not too many power forwards on the college level that are 5'10". But everybody kept looking at me and they said, you're going to grow, you're going to grow, you're going to grow. And you know what? I probably thought about it more than I could. Did it affect my height any? Did I grow any more because I worried and thought about my height? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to eventually grow. I'm going to have that growth spurt in high school. I'm going to be 6'6", and I'm going to be great. You know, I'm going to go off and do all these things. Worrying didn't do a thing. How much spiritual baggage are you carrying around that you shouldn't? I know that's a silly example, but that's what which of you by worrying can have one cubit to his stature? There's a lot of things that people carry in their spiritual lives that they don't have any control over. And if you're honest with yourself and admit those things, you know what you can do? You can forget them, you can leave them behind, and you don't have to be traveling around with this huge, big backpack that's holding your spiritual growth back because you're trying to think about and consider all these things that you can't control. Forgetting those things which are behind, perhaps those things that we have no control over, and those things that we have no control over are holding us back. So I think that when we're on this spiritual journey, we should definitely take life lessons with us. We should definitely take our good memories of the past. But when it comes to things that we need to forget about and drop off, one of those areas is things that we cannot control. We need to drop that baggage so we can press on. So we can run the race more effectively. Because the more time you spend on things that you have no control over, I think it does have effects on your spiritual life. I think it does have spiritual effects because we're not pressing. You know, I mean, think of these people. If we load up their backpack with 2020, right? 2020, we admit there's nothing that we can do. I mean, it's in the past. Now, we can take life lessons. That would be a good thing to take. To try to take all 2020 and pile it on your back and try to take it on your spiritual adventure, your spiritual journey, you're not going to be able to take it. You will collapse underneath the load. You will collapse underneath the load. Number one, I think when we're forgetting things that are behind, I think number one, I think he's referencing things that we have no control over. Number two, and this one's going to be a hard one for some people, is that some more baggage that we need to leave behind is our mistakes, our failures, and our faults. Our mistakes, our failures, and our faults. I tell you, that's a hard thing to leave behind. Now, I want to make a distinction here. The Christian should take the lesson with them, but they don't have to carry the fault, the mistake. You don't have to carry those. You know, many people try to carry those, and you can see that that weight is pretty heavy. You know, we understand as Christians we don't live perfect lives. But the question is, what are you carrying? Are you carrying the life lesson? Are you carrying the fault and the mistake? And I fear, brothers and sisters in Christ, I think a lot of times we fall into the camp where we're on our spiritual journey and we're trying to carry all our mistakes and all our faults and all the things that we've messed up on. And we carry those and they weigh up and they're heavy and they crush us. And you know what it affects? It affects us from pressing on to our fullest potential because we're hanging on to these things which God has told us to let go of. We understand we don't live perfect lives, but there is a big difference between carrying a life lesson and carrying a mistake, carrying a fault, carrying a sin for the rest of your life. It's a big difference, brothers and sisters in Christ. We understand we don't live perfect our lives. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 it says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of sin. God is trying to lighten your load. He does not want you to carry sins on your spiritual journey. He does not want you to carry mistakes on your spiritual journey. He does not want you to carry your faults on your spiritual journey. Well, why does He want me to do that? It's going to slow you down. It's going to make you ineffective. In fact, in many ways, it's going to cripple you and destroy you. You know what the Bible teaches us? As Christians, as child of God, we can be forgiven of our sins. Forgiven of our sins. We don't have to carry our mistakes. We don't have to carry our faults. Now, I'll carry the life lesson. Yeah, I'll carry those. But I will not carry my sins. I will not carry my mistakes. I will not carry my faults. You know why? Because Jesus Christ died, so I didn't have to carry those. Because if I try to carry those, I will be crushed. Are you trying to carry those things on your spiritual journey? And this one's going to be hard, but once again, it needs to be said. If God has forgiven you of your faults, why haven't you forgiven yourself? If God has forgiven you of your sins, He's forgiven you for your mistakes, forgiven you of your faults, why haven't you forgiven yourself? Like I said, there's a distinction here. And we're going to have a perfect picture here in a second of two examples. Of a person who can let it go and say, God has forgiven me of this, I'm taking the life lesson, I'm going to learn from that experience. Then the person that lets their mistakes, their faults, and their sins weigh them down, take away their Christian attitudes, take away their Christian spirit, take away the Christian race, take away running the Christian race effectively because they have let the sin weigh them down. I know it happens to some of our brothers and sisters in Christ. I know it's happened to me on occasion. Are you carrying your faults? Are you carrying your mistakes? Are you carrying your sins with you on the Christian journey? What I can tell you is it's a load that's too hard to bear. Some of our brothers and sisters in Christ will let one failure determine the rest of their spiritual life. Some of our brothers and sisters in Christ will let one spiritual failure, one fault, one mistake, one sin, they'll let it destroy their whole spiritual life, even though Jesus said, I will forgive you of those sins, you can take them out of your backpack, you don't have to carry those anymore, I'm going to take care of them, and you can press on, you can run the race, because I'm going to take the sin away, I'm going to take the fault away, I'm going to take the mistake away. It's not that we don't carry the life lesson, but to carry those things and let them beat us down is not the Christian life. You know, our minds are rough on us from time to time. But do you carry your sin, your faults, your mistakes with you? You get beat down day after day after day remembering those things that you've done wrong. One of the great blessings of the Christian life is He wants to solve that problem. He wants to take the sin out of your backpack. He wants to take your faults out of your backpack. He wants to take the mistakes out of your backpack. Why? So you can press on and run a spiritual race. But will we let Him do it? You know, I've made mistakes in my life that make my stomach turn, to be quite frank. Makes me sick to think about. I've made some mistakes. No doubt about that. I can tell you that I wouldn't be able to stand before you today if I didn't accept this idea in its fullness. Can you imagine a preacher that's carrying all the baggage of their sin, their mistakes, and their faults? I wouldn't be able to stand before you if I didn't accept this idea wholeheartedly. Not the idea that I'm super special. The idea that Jesus has come into my backpack and he has taken out my sin, he's taken out my faults, he's taken out my mistakes. It's not that I don't have many life lessons. I have many life lessons from the mistakes that I've made. But I don't have to carry the mistakes with me and let them weigh me down. I have enough mistakes in my life that I would be crushed right here in front of you. I have enough sin in my life that I'd be crushed right here in front of you. Well, Kyle, why aren't you crushed? Because of Jesus Christ and his forgiveness of our sin. Don't let one failure determine the rest of your spiritual life. God wants to get those out of your life. I think we have to be careful with the past. It says, forget those things which are behind. Be careful with the past in relation to your mistakes, your faults, and your sins. Because if you carry those with you, they will beat you down until you can't run the Christian race anymore. And that's what Satan wants you to do, doesn't he? He wants you to dwell on your sin. He wants you to dwell on your faults. He wants you to dwell on your mistakes to the point that you're like, I can't be a Christian. I can't be a Christian. I can't live the Christian life. Look at all these mistakes I've made. He wants to get into your mind and twist your mind, and he wants to make you an ineffective Christian. He doesn't want you to run the race. He doesn't want you to do the hike. He wants to beat you down. And one way he does it is to get us to focus on these things which God has forgiven us of. And what good is that if we dwell on those things? I encourage you, when you consider your faults and your failures and your sins, you ask God to forgive you as a child of God and he has forgiven you, let them go. Because if you don't, they will hinder your spiritual race. You know, certainly Paul had to do that, didn't he? I think Paul struggled with it. You know, you think of Paul. Paul had quite a track record. He had a lot of baggage, didn't he? He had a lot of sin. He had a lot of faults. He had a lot of mistakes. And Paul, how are you going to press on? You killed Christians. You persecuted Christians. You were kicking against the goads. You were going against Christ to the umpth degree. How can you live with yourself, Paul? The forgiveness of sin. See, Paul understood that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he found me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Paul rattles off his track record. He knows what he's done. We all know what we've done. We all know the mistakes we've made, all the faults that we've done. We know all the sins. We understand that. You know what Paul's taking? He's taking a life lesson. He will not carry these things on with him. Now, I think people struggle with things. I think Paul struggled with this idea. I think a lot of Christians struggle with this idea. But God is trying to tell us to let these things go. Did Paul learn from his past? I think he certainly did. But you know what he had to do? He had to let go of his faults, his mistakes, and his sin to run the Christian life effectively. You know, I don't mean disrespect by this in any way. But our elders have made mistakes, as they've been elders. And I'm sure they would tell you that. We have deacons. I'm sure we have some deacons that would say, you know what, we've made some mistakes. And you have a preacher who would stand before you and say, I know I've made some mistakes, even before you. Well, what do? Kyle, you've made mistakes. You have faults, Kyle, you sin. You know what you need to do? You need to stop preaching. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's Satan talking, isn't it? He wants to drag us down and make us ineffective in the service of the Lord. Kyle, you can't serve the Lord because of all these past mistakes, and I have plenty. But you know what Jesus did? If he forgave us of those things, he said, let me get the sin out of your backpack. Let me take those faults out. Let me take those mistakes out. Now, you learn from them, and you take the life lessons with you, but don't carry those weights for the rest of your life. And many people try to. We have to press on. And one of the ways that we can press on more effectively is if we understand the forgiveness of our Lord and we take advantage of the forgiveness of our Lord. I've made mistakes in my life. Like I said, I just rattled off a couple categories. We've all made mistakes in our lives. if mistakes disqualifies us from serving the Lord, we're all in trouble. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. If making a mistake, if having a fault, if having a sin disqualifies us from serving the Lord, we're all disqualified. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches the forgiveness of sin. We have to learn to let it go. There are certain things that we need to take from our past. We need to take those good memories. We need to take those life lessons. But there are certain things that we need to leave behind. We need to leave behind things that we can't control. We need to leave behind the sins, the faults, and the mistakes of our lives. Do you really believe that God has forgiven you? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Remember no more. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more." What more does he have to say? In Micah chapter 7, verse 19, it says, "He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities, and he will cast our sins into the depths of the sea." I want you to think of your backpack on your spiritual road. You do not have to carry your past sins. You do not have to carry your past faults. You do not have to carry your past mistakes. Learn from them, yes. Carry them, no. You know where they've been put? In the depths of the sea. Now let me give you a picture here. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 it says, "Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Talking about God. What do you care about? What do you think about? I think sometimes we think about our mistakes, we think about our faults, we think about our sins. You know where we're supposed to cast those? On God. And you know where God casts them? Micah chapter 7 verse 19. He casts them into the sea. Now let's imagine our sin is an anchor here for a moment. Sin is an anchor here for the moment. We're supposed to cast our sin, we're supposed to give it to God, and God is going to cast our sins into the sea. Our sin is an anchor. There are some people that grab onto the anchor as God's casting it into the sea. Don't they? They're like, "I'm going to grab on it, I'm going to hold on to it, and I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to get this sin out of my backpack so I can press on and I can run the race more effectively. I'm going to cling to it." And you know what's going to happen? It's going to drive you to the bottom. You've got to be able to accept the forgiveness of God. And if you don't think this baggage is holding some of our brothers and sisters back, it is. And I'd be lying to you if it hasn't held me back in certain areas of my life in service to God. It's a challenge to fight with. I've had a lot of mistakes. I started preaching when I was 18. I've got a lot of mistakes. I've got a track record preaching. And I'll be accountable for those things. But this is battle that we all have to fight. And we all have to consider, what's at cost? What's at stake? What's going to happen? And one thing I've forgotten is the forgiveness of God. If I am not perfect, I have made mistakes. And certainly I don't want to make any more mistakes. But to let those mistakes weigh me down in the Christian race, so that I don't press on, so that I don't run, that I'm weighed down and I'm crushed, and it destroys my attitude, it destroys my service to the Lord. That's not what God wants. See, there's people that hold on to the anchor of sin. Let it go. God is casting our sins into the depths of the sea. See, there's a difference. There's somebody who stands on the boat and says, "Thank goodness that anchor's down there, that God cast my sins into the sea." That's the Christian that learns the life lesson and say, "Hey, I'm going to learn from this, but I'm thankful that it is way down there in the sea." But then there's the Christian who says, "Oh, you're casting my sin into the ocean? Let me grab on real quick and just let it take me to the bottom." And people let their past sins destroy their lives. Just remember some other people in the Bible. You think about King David for a second. King David, probably the best king, a man after God's own heart. He has that affair. Not only does he have that affair with Bathsheba, but also he basically kills Uriah. I mean, I don't know if there's any way around that. You think that thing could weigh David down for the rest of his life? You think it could destroy his attitude? You think he could destroy the way he lives life? You know, you look at Psalm 51, he seems pretty distressed there. In Psalm 51, David writes, he says, "I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." Now I want you to think about that, because I think that's how some Christians live their lives, is my sin is always before me. David is in distress when Psalm 51 is penned.
He's remembering his fault, and he goes, my sin is always before me.
Is your sin always before you? Your mistakes, your faults, your sins? He continues on. He says, against you and you only have I sinned. I've done this evil in your sight. You know what he does? He asks for forgiveness from God. He says, get this out of my vision. I don't want to see it again. And you know what God's going to do? He's going to take care of it. Could that have spiraled David's life out of control? Could he have focused on that sin and that mistake and that fault of his for the rest of his life? Yes, he could. And it could have destroyed him. You think that David is going to run an effective race? That he is going to press on? That he is going to serve God in the fullest of potential? If he hangs on to the weight of that sin? You think of Peter. Peter denying our Lord. Talk about a mistake. Denying our Lord. And Jesus Christ, his most dire moment. He's going to the cross and we have the situation unfold and Peter denies the Lord. You think that's a mistake, a fault, a sin that Peter could carry for the rest of his life? I think he could have. And you might have never got that lesson in Acts chapter 2. You may have never even got the rest of his spiritual journey. He could have just been crushed right there. You think of the Apostle Paul. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He's talking about some of those things which he's done. He said, I persecuted the church. I did all these things. Could that have destroyed the Apostle Paul? Yes, it could have. It could have destroyed him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we cannot let our mistakes, faults, and sins of the past keep us from pressing on, from doing what a Christian should be doing and the opportunities which we find. Yeah, David, I had an affair. I cannot serve the Lord today. I denied Jesus, Peter. I cannot serve the Lord today. I killed and persecuted Christians. I cannot serve the Lord today. All these men have something in common. They acknowledge their fault, they ask for forgiveness, and they learn to press on. Forgiveness, I think, is one of the greatest blessings we have as a Christian, and I think a lot of times we don't take advantage of it in our minds, because we get attacked by Satan, he tries to tear us down, he tears down our attitude and all these things, because we're not focused on those things that are right. On your spiritual journey, there's two things that you need to put in your backpack, and there's two things you need to leave behind. What are the two things that you need to take with you? You need to take the life lesson. Certainly the life lesson, and take the good memories with you as you go on your spiritual journey. But when it comes to Philippians chapter 3, forgetting those things which are behind, what is it talking about? There are things that we do not want to take on our spiritual journey. We do not want to take things that we cannot control. We do not want to take our faults, our mistakes, our sins with us. Because God says, you don't have to. What a blessing that is. These individuals learn to let go of the past, so they could press on and run a more effective race. As it says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, lay those weights aside that we can run more effectively. As we look forward to the year 2021, there's going to be a lot of opportunities to grow in the name of Jesus Christ. To grow in whatever aspect of life that we find ourselves, to do the best we can to serve our Lord. Think of where you start spiritually and think where you end spiritually in the course of a year. There should be some growth. And certainly, hopefully, we see that as we come to the conclusion of this year. But brethren, let us be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And there's one way we can do that. Put certain things in our backpack and leave certain things behind. Don't carry things that you don't need to. If you need the prayers of the church, you need to become a New Testament Christian, we ask you to please come as we stand, as we sing.